just happen like that, happen like that, happen like that. You can see the stars align, but I know that it's more than timing. Out of miracles, just happen like that, happen like that, happen like that. Right before I hit the ground, so how you came along and found me.
All right, who's ready for a miracle today? Are you ready for your miracle? Come on, if you're ready for your miracle, put your hands together. Yeah. All right. Now, last week, we kicked off this brand new series called Miracles. Last week, we talked about the conversion of water into wine, that Jesus converted the water into wine. And how many are thankful that Jesus is still in the conversion business, right? He converts sinners into saints, the broken into the fixed. He takes the lost and makes them found. He takes the hopeless and gives them hope. Today, we know that Jesus is still converting people. But the most incredible part of that story was that we learned how Jesus covers our shame and that he is concerned. And he covers our shame when we come into a relationship with him. He covers our shame and invites us back to the table of the wedding feast where we can sit there without shame because of what Jesus has done in our life. Somebody say amen for that. Amen. Well, today I'm going to get right into it. We're going to be talking about how Jesus heals the sick. I remember growing up, and I love playing the game of football. It was a game that I played from third grade all the way on, and I just never outgrown. I still love the game of football. No, it's no shock to you guys. You hear me talking a lot about football. It's because I really love the game. And I remember in ninth grade, we were playing in the city championship game against West High School. Now, West had a lot of great athletes. And I remember when we were doing our all-city physicals that they had a guy there, and I looked and I was like, man, what grown man is that? What coach is that? They're like, no, man, that's West High's running back. And this is ninth grade. And this guy looked like he was already in college. He was ripped. He had a full goatee. You know what I'm talking about? I don't know how many years he'd been in junior high, but one thing about it, man, he looked like a man amongst boys at that time. And I remember, fast forward to the end of the season, and we're playing West in a West Junior High and a city championship. And I was on the kickoff coverage team, and I was a gunner. Now, a gunner back then was, they would take some of the fastest guys, and they would put them on the outside, and they called them gunners because their job was just to sprint as hard as they could to wherever the ball went. Now, everybody else on kickoff coverage, they're supposed to stay in their lanes, cover their territory. But the gunners, their job is just to run to the ball as fast as they could. And believe it or not, I was pretty fast back in the day. I was a little bit lighter back then. I know, that's surprising, right? And I was really fast, and I had what they called game speed, because even though there was guys on the team who, if we did a 40 time, were a little bit faster than me, on tape, during the game, I would always outrun them. And there was something about the game that just got me charged up, that just got me amped up, Tim, and I would go into a different level, and I'd outrun guys on the field. So they put me out as a gunner because I played so fast. And so I remember I was known, I would love it. I would run down the field, and there was nothing like wrapping that guy up and laying on a big tackle and knocking a guy back and getting the whole stadium into it as a gunner. And I remember in the championship game, we kick it off, and I'm running down the field, and I'm watching that ball, and I'm just like giving it all I got, man. The jet pack is on. I'm going as fast as I can. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, that man child I told you about that I saw in the physicals early on, he came out of nowhere and hit me. He came from my blind side and hit me underneath my helmet and hit my chin. And the next thing I know, they were waking me up. Gene, are you okay? Are you okay? They cracked open the smelling sauce back when they had that, you know, and carried me over to the sideline. I was like, yeah, I'm fine, you know, putting on my helmet backwards. And I really, looking back now, I understand now, I probably had a concussion is what happened. It knocked me out. And back then, the concussion protocol wasn't what it was now. You know, they give you some smelling sauce. If you're okay, just go back in. Now they would, if that happened today's game, they would take my helmet away and I wouldn't have played again the rest of the game. But I remember it just like came out of nowhere and hit me. And I learned from that point on that no matter how fast I'm running, no matter how fast I want to make the tackle, I got to learn to see the whole field. And I got to learn to see everything coming my way because, man, it was out of nowhere that it hit me. And, you know, that's the way life is. That out of nowhere sometimes it seems like we get knocked out. We get a hit. We never saw it coming. Anyone ever experienced that before? It's like, man, I got knocked down out of nowhere. I didn't see that thing coming. I didn't see that coming my way. And all of a sudden, I got knocked down, and I didn't know it was heading my way. I want to talk to you about to those people today. I want to talk to people who have been knocked down today. I want to talk to people who have been knocked out today. So let's go ahead. I want to talk about two stories of healing in Scripture where we see Jesus healed. The first one we can find in John chapter 5. John 5, verses 3 through 6. And it says, crowds of sick people, the blind, the lame, or the paralyzed, they laid on the porches. One of the men lying there had been sick for 38 years. Anyone feel like you've been sick for a long time? This guy understands. He's been sick probably all of his life. And when Jesus saw him and knew he had been ill for a long time, he asked him, would you like to get well? Let's say it together. Would you like to get well? Would you like to get well? Now, today, we look at this question and we think, all right, Captain Obvious. That's what I think. I want to say, Jesus, all right, Captain Obvious. Of course, he wants to be well. But there was something else. Now, you and I have the benefit of seeing the whole scriptures. We can see more than just one story of healing. We have the advantage now that we can take a step back. We can look over many times that Jesus healed, and we can have a deeper understanding when Jesus asked this question. And we find this understanding when we go to Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 10, and then we'll read verse 13. It's a story about a Roman officer who came to Jesus and was wanting him to heal one of his servants. And he came to the house and he pleaded to him, Lord, my young servant lies in bed, paralyzed and in terrible pain. Jesus said, I will come and heal him. But the officer said, Lord, I am not worthy to have you even come into my home. But he said, just say the word from where you are and my servant will be healed. He goes, I know this. Because I am under what? The authority of my superior officers. He goes, and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say go, and they go. Or come, and they come. If I say to my servants, do this, they do it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. I mean, how often do we see this in Scripture? How often do we see where these words that Jesus was amazed? But this even amazed Jesus, his faith. Turning to those who were following him, this would have been his disciples. He goes, I tell you the truth. He goes, listen, I haven't seen this kind of faith in all of Israel. And then Jesus said to the Roman officer, go back home because you believed it has happened. So what we see happening here is this Roman soldier who is an officer because he worked under authority and he's worked with people under his authority. He had an understanding of how authority worked. And what was so amazing about this is that the Holy Spirit began to show him something that he had a deeper knowledge that he hadn't been taught yet. That the authority that Jesus was under God's authority. And the scripture says that all authority has been given to Jesus in heaven and in earth, so that anything under the earth's authority was under Jesus' authority. And so he was amazing Jesus because he had a revelation of authority that nobody on earth had ever experienced before. Nobody else had this knowledge, but he understood the power of authority. And he was like, no, Jesus, You just got to say the word. You just got to say the word, and the things under your authority must happen. Things under your authority must obey. And so he understood this. And so go back now as we see where Jesus asked this man who was paralyzed, do you want to get well? The obvious question is yes. But Jesus really wasn't asking him, do you want to be well? I believe what Jesus was asking this man was simply this. Do you believe I have the authority to help you? Jesus knew this man wanted to be well. He wouldn't have been laying there for 38 years if he didn't want to be well. What he was wanting to know is, do you believe that I have the authority to help you? Do you believe I can do something in your life? See, we got to believe that no matter how many times you've been knocked down, that God is greater. God is greater than the authority of the problem. Listen, that God is greater than your biggest problem. You got to believe this. And you didn't say amen long enough or loud enough, because this should really get into your heart and spirit today, because you got to believe that the problem you're facing today, that God is bigger than any problem you face. This is where the miracles lie. This is where it comes to authority. I've got to realize that as I get under God's authority, that anything, a problem that I have, anything that's trying to attack me, anything that's trying to weigh me down, when I get under God's authority, that thing gets under God's authority. And Jesus has the authority over everything in my life. So every problem I face, I've got to believe that God is bigger than that problem. Every problem that I face, I must believe that God is bigger than that problem. That God is in charge of whatever is trying to take charge of me. That when I feel something trying to take charge of my mind, when I feel something trying to take charge of my marriage, when I feel something trying to take charge of my children, when I feel something trying to take charge of my finances or my health or my whatever's going on, I realize that God, you are in charge of what's trying to take charge of me. So ultimately, I just got to get back under your authority and believe that you are in charge and that you're greater. And these things must submit to your authority in my life. It's an authority question. It's an authority question. Do you believe? Do you believe? Do you believe? So how do we see your miracle? Number one, I want you to write this down. You simply got to believe. Believe that God is greater. You got to believe that God is greater than your biggest problem. That God is greater than what you're facing today. Do you really believe that today? Do you really believe that God? It's one thing to sing about it. It's another thing to believe it. And you got to simply say, I believe that God, no matter what I face in my life, you are bigger. How many people in this room are stubborn just like me? Anybody here want to admit, say, yeah? The rest of you are like, no, I ain't raising my hand. There's no way. I can be stubborn, and a lot of you can be stubborn as well. I like this billboard I've seen. Maybe you've seen it before. This year, thousands of men will die from stubbornness. And some man wrote, no, we won't. I mean, we can be stubborn people, can't we? You know what? I don't like it when my wife tells me how to drive. Say amen at your own risk, ain't I don't like it when my wife tells me how to drive. She'll tell me how to drive. I'm like, I can do this, honey. I know where I'm going. Don't tell me how to drive. But then when I miss my exit, I'm like, what did you tell me? And if I tell you, then I can't win. And if I don't tell you, I can't win. There's nothing I can do to win with you. Because I'm stubborn at times, right? It's something that happens. You know, I read something today that said if you ever held your breath until you passed out as a kid, you must be stubborn, right? And if you have that child, we're going to have prayer for you right over here, right now. Thank you. Go to the prayer partners. God help you. You know, we can all be stubborn. And one thing I know that we can really suffer with is simply this, is that many times, let me just give you the secret, that Satan really isn't our biggest problem. You want to know what our biggest problem is? Look at this. Many times, our biggest problem is ourself. Many times, our biggest problem is ourself. Because we want to fix it. I can fix this. I can take care of this. I can do this on my own. And we want to prove that we can do it on our own. We want to step up and do it on our own. But that's not where God wants us to live our life. But we all face times when we can only go to God to fix our problem. We all face times that only God can fix what we're going through in our life. And that's exactly where he wants us to be. We got to realize that Jesus has the authority over the dating market. He has the authority over the stock market. He has the authority over the farmer's market. He has authority over the government. He has authority over politicians. He has authority over presidents and kings and queens. He has authority over the military. He has authority over viruses. He has authority today over my family. He has authority over my health. He has authority over my finances. He has authority over my marriage. He has authority over my job. He has authority over my children. Come on now. Jesus has authority over everything here on earth. And so I must realize that he has authority and I need him. I can't do it on my own. I can't fix my problems by myself. So realizing that Jesus has authority over every problem, over everything, good or bad, it helps me realize this principle that I may be down, but I'm never out. I may be knocked down, but I'm not forgotten. Because I'm going to get back up, and I'm going to rise back up. And there's going to come a time for me to rise back up out of the thing I'm in. It's time for me to get out of the mud. It's time for me to get out of the pig's pen and go back to the Father and get back under his authority in my life. There's a power when I get back under God's authority. Come on now. When you're under your own authority, it'll always lead back to the pig's pen. But when you pick your head up and head back home and get back under God's authority in your life, it's there that the blessings flow. It's there that healings happen. It's there that I am set free. Somebody needs to get up this morning and say, I'm not living here. I got to get up. Believe that God is bigger. Believe that God is bigger. And number two, you got to learn to stand up in faith. You got to begin to rise up in faith. Get up in faith today. Now let's pick up the story in verse 7 of John chapter 5. This is what this man said to Jesus. Jesus, I can't. Have you ever been there before? I can't go another step. I can't live another day. I can't cry another tear. I just can't. I'm tired. I don't have the strength. I can't. That's what the sick man said. I have no one to put me in the pool when the water bubbles up. Someone else always gets there ahead of me. Now, they had this belief that this pool, when it would begin to bubble up, and what we know today be that there was probably some kind of natural spring that would go through there, and at times that the waters would begin to get troubled, and they begin to, this undercurrent, and they had this belief that the first one in would be healed, and that the angels were stirring up this pool, and so they believed, if I could just get into the waters first, then I can be healed. Maybe I have a chance of receiving supernatural healing. So he goes, I have no one to get me up. I have no one to put me there. But I love Jesus' response to him in verses 8 and 9. Look what it says. And then Jesus told him, stand up. Stand up. Pick up your mat and walk. See, sometimes you got to quit crying. Sometimes you got to quit saying, woe is me. Sometimes you got to quit looking to everybody else to pick you up. And you got to look to Jesus and say, I'm getting up. I'm rising up. I'm getting out of this thing. I'm getting off of this mat. I'm tired of being in this place of addiction. I'm tired of being in this place of being trapped by anxiety and fear and depression. I'm tired of being trapped by this place. I got to rise up out of that thing and get out of there. It's time for me to get up. Quit looking for somebody else and say, I'm getting up with you, Jesus. I'm getting up. Stand up. Pick up your mat and walk. Stand up. I'll tell you right now, I can't wait for Easter. I'm going to start a new series called Rise Up. And I'm going to be preaching on this very thing, on this whole series, about people who rose up, who had been knocked down, but rose up above. I'll tell you what, it's going to be powerful. I can barely hold it right now. I'll tell you what, it's time for some people to stand up. He says, pick up your mat and walk. And instantly the man was healed. He rolled up his sleeping mat and began walking. But this miracle happened on the Sabbath. And so Jewish leaders objected. They said, the man who was cured, you can't work on the Sabbath. You're not supposed to heal on the Sabbath. The law doesn't allow you to carry that sleeping mat. You know, I always tell you this, no matter how much God speaks to you and does in your life, there's always just somebody being negative. There'll always be somebody trying to put you back down. There's always going to be somebody that says, go back to your mat. Don't you get healed. You stay there. We will expect you to stay there. We expect you to live there forever. We don't expect you to get better. We don't want you to get better. Listen, sometimes you got to block all those peoples out and hear what Jesus is saying to you. And he's saying, get up. Get up. You don't have to live there. I don't care how long your family's lived there. Get up. I don't care how long you've been on that mat. Get up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Sometimes you got to put your big boy's panties on and get up and stand up on your own. Are you hearing what I'm telling you today? You got to get up and stand up and say, I'm going to fight my way up. I don't care if I got to pull myself up with my arms and my legs aren't strong enough. I'm going to pull my way to Jesus. I'm going to stand up. See, Jesus asked this man to do the very thing he couldn't do on his own. Think about it. The one thing Jesus asked him to do was the one thing he couldn't do on his own. And that's exactly where he wants us. He wants us to be at a point where what he's asking us to do, we can't do on our own. I can't stand up on my own. Exactly. I can't be healed on my own. Exactly. I can't get delivered on my own. Exactly. We need to get past ourselves and realize it's only by the authority of me living under the authority of Jesus in my life. This is where the miracles can happen. When I get under God's authority, when I get under God's authority in my life, then all these other things also must be under God's authority. When we come to the end of ourselves, it's exactly where Jesus wants us to be. It's where he's wanted us all along. I can't do it. You're right. But he can. Listen, don't wait until you have a crisis to learn to surrender your life fully to Jesus. See, the mature Christians, they understand this principle, that I must learn to live my life fully surrendered to Jesus. Now, the immature do this. We live our life. We go through a crisis, and we're like, oh, man, I got to go back and give my life to Jesus. I got to flow. God, I need you. God, I need you. And then things get better, and then slowly we kind of get back to doing things our own way. And then a crisis hits again, and we come back. Oh, I got to get back in. I got to get back into God. I got to get back in the church. I got to get back to serving God fully. I got to get back to who I really used to be. And see, the immature will be up and down like that, but the mature realize that, how about I learn to live my life fully surrendered now? So maybe I don't have to go through as much pain along the way. Maybe I don't have to be on that mat forever. I can learn to walk freely, walk healed now because I'm living surrendered now. It's a place where he wants us to be. I come to the end of myself, but I've surrendered all to Jesus. Look at this statement today. It's long, but I believe it's very powerful. Sometimes We have to learn to stand up without the miracle we are praying for so that we can experience the miracle we really need. Sometimes I got to stand up before I see the miracle. I'm praying, God, you do this, but I'm going to stand up anyway without seeing it. Because the question is simply this. Anybody can stand up when the miracle is taking place. But will you stand up before the miracle happens? Will you attempt to stand up before the miracle ever happens? Will you attempt to stand up and say, God, even if you never, ever do what I want you to do, I'm going to stand for you and I'm going to stand under your authority and know that you've got the plan, that your plan is bigger than my ways, your thoughts are bigger than my thoughts, and I'm going to stand under your will no matter what. And many times that's the greatest miracle of all, that people who are even sick in their body, people who face the biggest rejection will stand up under great depression, stand up under great anxiety, stand up under great fear and say, I'm not going to live here, but I'm standing up anyway. I'm going to serve God anyway. I'm going to give to God anyway. I'm going to love God anyway. And I stand up in the middle of that. Oftentimes that takes even a greater miracle. Will you stand up under the authority? See, sometimes we're praying for God to change our spouse when God really wants to change me. Sometimes we're praying for God to change my boss when God really wants to change me. God, change my children when God really wants to change me. God, change my health, but God really wants to change me. God, change my children, but God really wants to change me. See, the miracle oftentimes is something we don't understand. That God is wanting us to look within. Like I told you last week, oftentimes the miracle is not what God does for us, it's what he does in us. That's where the real miracle takes place. As our musicians are coming today, I believe it's time for some people to get up. I believe there's some people, you've been paralyzed a long time by things in your life. And I believe today that it's going to be a day of faith for you to stand up in the middle of whatever you're going through. So I'm going to declare some things, and if this is you, I want you to stand up today in faith. If you've ever been knocked down by disappointment, I want you to stand up right now. If you've been knocked down by negative voices that have told you you'll never be good enough, that you'll never be pretty enough, that you'll never amount to anything, you'll never do anything for God, I want you to stand up in the middle of those voices. If you've been knocked down by rejection or failure, I want you to stand up. If you've been knocked down by being abandoned or neglected, I want you to stand up. If you've been knocked down by depression, anxiety, or fears, I want you to stand up. If you've been knocked down by addiction or failures in your life, I want you to stand up. If you're tired of feeling worthless and alone, I want you to stand up. Because in Jesus' name, there is life, there is hope, there is hope, there is hope, there is hope. Stand up in the hope of the Lord. Stand up in the life of the Lord. Stand up and say, I'm getting up. I'm getting up. I may have been knocked down, but I'm not staying here. I'm getting up. I'm standing up. I'm standing up. It's an authority issue. God, I'm standing up under your authority, and all these things must come to submission of your authority in my life. In Jesus' name. Today, I believe that God is wanting to do something special. I want you to raise your hands. I want to pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you today that you're allowing people to stand up to their greatest fears. Stand up to the greatest failure. Stand up to the negative words. Stand up to the things that have knocked us down, things we didn't even see coming. But today I declare over their life that these things shall no longer have hold and authority in their life, and I pray a new authority today. Lord, we are submitting these things under your authority, no longer to be a victim, but today we are becoming victorious in you. No longer to be held down, tied down, weighed down, but we're submitting it to you in Jesus' name. I am free in Jesus' name. I am standing up in Jesus' name. I'm declaring over somebody today, you will never, ever be held down again in the name of Jesus. Today was the day of freedom for your life. Today's the day of freedom for your life. Declare it, declare it. I'm getting up and I'm not going back to my mat. Anybody say that in Jesus' name? Yeah. Where you at, Jerry? Come here, Jerry. Come here. Give Jerry a big hand today. He came up to me and told me something. He said, Pastor, he goes, I came last week for the first time. He goes, and the Spirit of God got a hold of me and I rededicated my life to the Lord. And today I brought my family. He goes, today I brought my family. And I was looking over there, I was smiling because it was a little over a year ago that Ricky did the same thing. He got baptized, and then Ricky invited Jerry, and Jerry came, and his family came. I'm telling you, when you decide to get off your mat, you affect more people than just yourself. But you're affecting a generation. Come on, let's give God praise. Come on. Already. Let's pray for Jerry today. Father, I thank you for Jerry, his decision to follow after you. Lord, I pray today that the fire of God would burn deep in his heart, that God, as he brings and leads his family into the way of Christ, I pray that he'll never be the same in Jesus' name. God, make this man an evangelist, a mouthpiece of you. May his life be a living testimony of how you change and bring glory. Father, may he never be the same in Jesus' name. We say amen and amen, amen. Listen today, we're so glad you're here. Man, I don't know, but just tell you, God is up to something big, guys. God is up to something big. Keep believing, keep praying, keep coming, expecting God to do miracles. It's going to be big on Wednesday night. I want you to come if you can make it. We can't wait to worship with you. God bless you. Turn to somebody, give them a big high five, say, God is good.